is In Re Trust of Matthews. Is it Ms. Eckhoff? Now, before we go anywhere, Justice Miller Lerman is recused from this matter, so the court is going to be joined by Judge Stecker, who is here. And Judge Stecker is from the 5th Judicial District, District Court Judge from Seward. Welcome, Judge Stecker.
Thank you.
With that, do either counsel have any questions before we begin? Thank you. Mr. Lutz Prefort, then you may proceed again.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Zachary Lutz Prefort on behalf of the Nebraska Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I'd like to reserve 1 minute and 30 seconds for rebuttal. Your Honors, this case comes down to a simple question of what is a successor in a sign, particularly in the context of religious associations. Now, the case itself centers around the trust of Margaret Matthews.
You've left out a word, haven't you? Doesn't the word charitable come in?
It does, Your Honor, however,
isn't
inherently.
Isn't that pretty crucial?
It is, Your Honor, however, inherently a religious association, such as a church, is inherently a charitable organization. And that includes the Nebraska Synod, which itself is also a charitable organization. And I do agree that the charitable organization portion of that is crucial, I also think the religious association aspect of it is something that can't be separated, particularly in this case when you look to the structuring of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. So the ELCA has a national level, the regional level of the synods, and then local level of congregations. In this case, you have a situation where all of those bodies have an interplay with one another. They all support one another, and they all provide support to one another. They also have ties as far as what happens to one when another ceases to exist. Particularly on the congregational level, what happens is that when a congregation ceases to exist, all property of the congregation, unless otherwise disposed of, flows upward to the synodic level. Now, what you also see is that during the course of that dissolution process, the synod really does step in to assist. And what the record in this case reflects is that ultimately a decision was made to dissolve Pella Evangelical Lutheran Church, but that wasn't the first step, that a number of different possibilities were looked to resolve and see what could be done for Pella, and that each step of the way, the Synod was providing support and assisting Pella.
Mr. Counsel, I want to take you back a step, and that is on how you describe the trust. There was an amendment to the trust that said, I'm deleting subdivisions or subsections A through D of Section 1. A through D appear to me to be the Salvation Army, Bethesda Lutheran, Visiting Nurse, and Pella Lutheran. And then there's a paragraph that follows that doesn't have a number, doesn't have a letter. Is it your client's position that that paragraph that follows is or is not still part of the trust?
It would still be part of the trust.
Okay. And what difference does that make, if any?
It doesn't make much of a difference when you look to what that A through D was substituted with. So the A through D becomes A through C, eliminating Bethesda. And portions of that now have no longer just, before the amendment, it was just Pella Evangelical Lutheran Church. It became Pella Evangelical Lutheran Church, comma, its successors and assigns. So that last paragraph of if any of these cease to exist, what happens, would still be accurate. So if Pella leaves absolutely no successor relationship and there is thus nothing there, you would look to that hanging paragraph for what to do. If, however, Pella leaves a charitable successor, you have no reason to go down to that final hanging paragraph.
In this particular case, is there, based on the facts that were presented to the county court, is there an argument to be made that Augustana Lutheran Church is a successor or an assign or perhaps an assign of a successor to Pella Lutheran?
I don't really think there is an argument to be made in that regard, Your Honor. While it's true that Augustana definitely benefited from receiving parishioners and certain assets, the true assign is based upon the constitutions of Pella, and the interplay between Pella and the Synod is the Synod, because the Synod becomes the one who is charged with the responsibilities of what to do next. So once Pella is no longer in existence, the Synod is charged with what happens with Pella's property and how to rehome or recongregate Pella's congregants who don't otherwise find somewhere.
To the extent that Pella is still engaged in charitable functions, it would be through and only through Augustana, wouldn't it?
No, I believe it would continue to be through the Synod, because Pella at various points in time, and this is true of all of the congregations within a Synod, provides support upward to the synodic level, which then assists all of the parishes in how it provides support. So I don't think it's accurate that only Augustana is the one who is now providing the support that Pella would have had.
In any event, we don't have Augustana in this litigation.
That is correct.
Is that a problem?
I don't think so, because I don't think Augustana is, other than in the most tangential way and only because of effectuation by the Synod, related to as a charitable successor. The only connection with Augustana is because of the Synod's actions. And so when we look to language of what is a successor corporation, Augustana really doesn't fit within the mold of it, whereas the Synod does fit within that mold. Now, part of the problem with all of the case law that the parties relied upon, ourselves included, is that it delves into for-profit corporation law and even other nonprofit corporation law. But
isn't the heart of the case, the heart of the dispute, is who, if anyone, is the successor to Pella?
That's correct.
That's a sort of a corporate dissolution question?
Not in the context of religious association. In another context, I mean, if we're talking about the VNA or the Salvation Army, I would agree with you that that is more of a corporate dissolution action. But religious associations don't, in every aspect, act like other nonprofit corporations. And we recognize that because we have an entire section of the code dedicated to religious associations.
You would agree with me, would you not, that county courts do not have general equitable power?
Correct.
So I take it that you and your opponent are both relying on section 30-3814 as the source of power for this particular proceeding.
That's correct.
And if we were to hold that perhaps this exceeds the boundary of that statute, where does that leave us?
Without looking directly at the statute in front of me, I would think that it would leave you with remanding with instruction to the district court or the county court to address its own jurisdictional defects.
Thank you.
This was filed, as Justice Castle indicated, apparently under the trust statutes, which make some reference to declaratory powers of the county court or the power to interpret a trust.
Correct.
So how did your client get notice? How did you factually in this case become involved?
We became involved through an intervention action, through a petition to be substituted for Pella.
How did you get notice of that? Wells Fargo comes in and says to the court, court, tell us what this means. And what happens then?
Honestly, Your Honor, my recollection does not address me exactly how we received the final notice of it. Whether it was as part of the proceedings that they also notified the Synod, I can't recall. Fundamentally, the issue of whether or not the Synod is the successor organization can be seen in looking at the Constitution of Pella as well as its interactions with the Synod.
When you look at the trust get to determine what a successor is?
The trust does get to do so if it went beyond just using the word successor and assign. Because the trust didn't go beyond that, you look to the plain and ordinary meaning of successor and assign, which would be somebody who is assuming the rights and responsibilities of the other party and who succeeds it in interest, which is exactly what the Synod did and what was it was essentially agreed to by Pella when it became a member of the ELCA. It was required to have a constitution that had certain provisions, which included that if it were to disaffiliate absent permission of the Synod, that its property would remain with the ELCA, and if it ceased operations, that its property would go to the ELCA.
Did the Synod succeed to any debts or obligations of the congregation?
I don't believe the synod succeeded to any debts of the congregation. However, it did maintain the other responsibilities of the congregation, including immediately prior to its dissolution, providing pastoral support, following its distribution, rehoming its assets, helping its parishioners who had otherwise not found a new congregation find a congregation, and disposing of certain property. So there were certainly responsibilities of the synod that's still tied to Pella, including the sale of the Pella building itself.
Have all of those been discharged? And weren't all of those discharged long before this, the decedent's death in this case?
That's correct. All of those were discharged, but it doesn't, I mean, it wouldn't preclude the fact that there could have been other possible liabilities. If we adopt this notion that because everything you were supposed to do is discharged and now there's no known liabilities, you essentially cut off when an entity is a successor organization, whereas I think the successorship has to be more of a permanency factor.
Well, that sort of circles back to Augustana, doesn't it?
Only insofar, well, it circles back to Augustana, but the synod was still the party responsible for assisting things along to the Augustana step. And as a result, it still was the synod who was exercising the responsibilities, not Augustana. Augustana is only essentially acting as a resource that the synod is using to fulfill its responsibilities.
Before you sit down, what is our standard of review?
I think on a purely equitable issue, you'd be looking at this de novo. On a non-purely equitable issue, you would be looking at both. You'd be looking at errors appearing on the record.
So is this equitable or non-equitable?
I think it's non-equitable in its totality. So you'd be looking for errors appearing on the record, which we think do exist because the Constitution clearly makes Pella a charitable successor to the Senate a charitable successor to Pella. And as a result, we would request that you reverse and remand to the county court.
That goes back to the point that it is the Senate's position that the Constitution controls. But what about the intent of the testator?
Well,
what's evidence in the record that points to what their meaning of successor and assign is?
I suppose there's a couple of points. The first is that at the point in time where the amendments were occurring, Pella was already showing a decline in attendance, and there were already problems with the building. So it was clear on the horizon that Pella was not going to likely exist in its then form longer, which is ample reason why the testator would amend from simple Pella to Pella as charitable successors and assigns. Additionally, the fact that the testator never modified things after Pella's dissolution, even though multiple years passed to do so. And finally, the members of a congregation are aware of the tie between the synod and the congregation itself. The members would be aware and have access to the constitution of both the church as well as the synod itself, and would be able to communicate and have interaction with the synod, particularly in a case like this where the synod was providing ample pastoral care through Pastor Falken. All of those speak to what the testator understood would be Pella's charitable successor and assign. And looking at the plain meaning of charitable successor and assign, the synod meets all of those hallmarks.
Doesn't it require something of the Pella Church to actively assign rather than passively through the Constitution and the Matthews Trust?
I don't believe so, because I think the Constitution is an active assignment. I mean, the Constitution actively says if Pella ceases to exist, its property becomes the property of the ELCA. That's passing the rights that Pella would have had. That is an active action. The totality of the Constitution as a whole, showing what the Synod is going to provide, and the Synod's Constitution establishing what it has to provide to its local congregations, establishes the responsibility factor. Those aren't passive actions. Those are very clear active actions that have to be adopted for Pella to be a part of the Nebraska Synod and part of the ELCA.
So even if they didn't know about it, your argument is that the expectancy from this revocable trust was an asset that passed from Pella to the Synod at the time that Pella fell apart.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Ms. Eckhoff, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Krista Eckhoff, and I, along with my colleague Brian Bartmittler, represent the appellees, the Visiting Nurse Association, and the Salvation Army in this case.
Counsel, you heard some of my questions to your opponent.
Yes.
Do you agree with the question that I asked about the paragraph below, paragraph D in the original trust agreement? Is it still part of the trust?
Yes, certainly. It's still in existence. The amendment simply deleted the specific request and left that last paragraph.
Okay. And then you also heard my questions about Augustana and what its interest might be.
Yes.
What do you have to say about that?
Well, first, this case was brought by Wells Fargo as the trustee, and I believe they did provide notice to Augustana, and that would be in the record as some of that certificates of service. But that goes to what we've been, my
Augustana was not named as a party. You would agree.
That's correct, yes. So they were provided notice, but we did not come in as a party or.
So if they're not named as a party, they're not going to be bound by whatever judgment might come out of this, are they?
I don't believe so.
All right.
Yeah. And arguably, if they received notice and did not appear, you know, that would be an argument for another day. But there, it goes to the core issue here is the bequest to Pella Lutheran Church. Its charitable successors and assigns, and the trial court properly considered and followed that number one priority in trust matters, which is the grantor's intent. And I think in looking at that language, we would, the county court correctly acknowledged that number one priority, and the issue is not the synod's or any potential recipient's intent, but the grantor's intent. And the controlling document is the trust document, not the synod's internal documents. The trial court properly assessed whether the synod was a successor and assigned through that lens of the grantor's intent, Margaret Matthews' intent.
Does charitable successors and assigns have a different meaning than ordinary successors and assigns?
I don't believe it has necessarily a different meaning. In this case, I do believe charitable is important in that.
Is it reflective of the settler's intent?
Yes. Certainly, the inclusion of the word charitable would reflect that intent that any successor and assign have that charitable a component, and
well,
in our argument has to fill a similar role.
In the context of this case, or a case of a church,
yes.
What does charitable mean?
Well, in this case, it goes on what was presented at the trial court, you know, not much was presented necessarily with regard to Margaret Matthews' intent with her church, but she had specific relationships with each of the charities, with my two clients, the VNA and the Salvation Army. She gave had relationships.
Why were the relationships with a charity make any difference as to whether or not it was charitable?
Well, certainly. So the charitable question would be somewhat separate. With regard to relationship with her church and the charitable nature of that relationship with her church, I think would be the evidence you would look to in terms of what works was that church doing.
In that regard, is not the synod just as charitable as the Pella congregation itself?
I think it is charitable. I'm not sure with looking at the grantor's intent, it fulfills the same similar charitable functions as the church itself or as the congregation within the synod.
So what charitable function did Pella perform that the synod doesn't?
The church, and I think, you know, council spoke to this a little bit, but the synod is more of a overarching organization. Although the synod provides some church services, they're not regular church services. The congregation that Margaret Matthews was part of was not included in what the synod does. The pastoral care was provided by a temporary pastor that was put in place at Pella Lutheran Church, but was associated with Pella Lutheran. And those would be the types of congregational aspects that were her relationship with her church.
So is it your argument then that the intent apparently of Ms. Marshall, I believe it is, was to give money to some kind of an operating parish that had services every week and that sort of thing, and not to give it to something like the synod, which is more administrative?
Yes, and to complete that, there was no evidence presented, or the trial court did not hear any evidence or make any findings of fact about the similarities between the synod and the congregation. And so based upon the relationships that we were able to, her intent we were able to glean from her relationships with all of the charities, that would be my understanding, would be her. She also, you know, there's no evidence of her specific relationship with the synod, for example, at the trial court.
Was there any evidence that she... Was there any evidence that she just wished to give this to her local church, relating to her local church?
There was no evidence presented necessarily about her relationship with her church, other than her being a member. She wasn't on a certain list. She wasn't on certain lists with regard to.
Please proceed to the stairway.
Let's hold on for just a second.
Yes, sir. Sir.
Proceed to the stairways and exit the dwelling.
Mr. Barrett, can you check on what's going on here? Thank you very much.
May I have your attention, please?
These normally are not.
It's a pleasant voice.
There has been a fire alarm. Exit the building. Do not use the elevators, but...
Notice we're not all rushing.
I assume, yeah. I'll take the cue from you.
We know a quick way out.
We have to figure out which one of those is the door.
There has been a fire alarm in the building. Please proceed to the stairway and exit. To the stairways and exit the building. May I have your attention, please? May I have in the building? There has been a fire alarm reported in the building.
Looking into it right now. We will give us a notification. Just a minute.
Do not use the elevators, but proceed to the...
Just in case if somebody can...
Attention, please. There has been a fire alarm reported in the... Please proceed to the stairways and exit the building. Stairways and exit the building. May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention? There has been a fire alarm reported in the building. Do not use the elevators, but proceed to the stairways and...
She can't return to her seat while we're doing
this. Certainly, you may return to
her seat. All right, I guess I'm a little dirty.
We don't either.
All right.
Attention, please. May I have your attention, please? Has been a fire alarm recorded in the building. Please proceed. The elevators. But proceed to the stairways and exit the building.
They basically just pull their arms and hang tight to the alarm system.
Thank you very much.
Just for nothing.
May I have your attention? There has been a fire alarm reported in the building. There has been stairways and exits the building. Do not use the elevator.
Very good. Now, Ms. Eckhoff, I don't know if you remember your train of thought.
No.
Sure. I do not. How much time do we have?
We have 4 minutes and 12 seconds.
Okay.
Certainly.
You may proceed.
All right. Apologies. I kind of lost my train of thought, but if there's a question I didn't answer, please let me know. With regard to the, again, the grantor's intent being number one, but also under the plain meaning of the phrase charitable successors and assigns, the synod does not take under the trust. Successors and assigns means a legal process and a duly authorized legal succession in which another corporation assumes the rights and burdens of the first corporation, and the synod does not meet that plain meaning of successors and assigns. Someone's really insistent.
Attention, please. May I have your attention, please? There has been a fire alarm recorded in the building.
Someone's really afraid of my argument.
No,
I'm
not. You must proceed to the stairways of the
transition point. I'm on a different point. Just someone doing that out there.
I wasn't talking about this. attention, please.
Thank you. Let's try it again.
Certainly. And then with regards to the plain meeting of successors and assigns, the Senate does not meet that plain meeting. The Senate did not point to the liabilities it assumed, for example. The Synod itself had a special resolution that it described the decision by Pella Lutheran Congregation to convey certain property to the Synod, and it was after all payments of debts and liabilities of the congregation. The Synod did not continue to operate, you know, a congregation or a church. The Synod admitted it did not receive all of the assets of Pella Lutheran Church, and with all of that, so the showing that that plain meaning of that phrase is also not met.
Do we know what the charitable work of Pella was?
We don't have on the record all the, you know, all the charitable events that may have, you know, gone on with the church. But we know her; she was a member of the church and was involved with her church in attending church services.
Isn't prior ordinary to activities of a religious body of meetings, conducting religious services, worshiping together in whatever denomination or form that they support, isn't that an inherently charitable activity?
I would think, yeah, it's a religious activity, and it's part of what the church would do as one of its charitable activities.
So certainly. You're not contending that churches are not charitable?
No. So I wouldn't contend that, for example, in, you know, what would a proper successor and assign potentially look like? You know, it would be fact specific, and again, based on Margaret Matthews' intent, which the trial court did here. But it's you know, a charitable entity that would assume the liabilities, take parishioners, fulfill, you know, similar charitable functions with regard to holding church services and the like. It's something more than just receiving the property, which is what the Synod did in this case.
The Synod administratively reassigned Margaret Matthews to the Augustana Lutheran Church, right?
Correct.
Does the evidence tell us what her abilities or mental situation was at the time that that occurred?
I'm not sure there's anything specifically in the record. I do believe she was, just from my knowledge in the case, in a nursing home at that time. So I believe she was having pastoral care from the pastor of Pella Lutheran Church visit her. And then I don't know what happened when she was transferred to the new church.
And there's no evidence the Synod regularly maintained a church, had weekly church celebrations or ceremonies, or did any of the typical things a church would do.
Correct.
And the Synod is more of an administrative or governing body that helps these parishes, these separate churches, carry on their charitable activities.
That's correct. There was some evidence that the Synod has some services at various times, but it's for, you know, individuals that attend from their congregation, and it's not regular church services like a typical church that you would think.
What is our standard of review in this case?
The standard of review is errors on the record, as there is no specific equitable matter that was presented or to be decided, and that's what, you know, because that review is issue specific and there's no equitable issues.
Is that good for you or bad for you?
I believe it's good. I believe there's the trial court did not commit errors with its holding, or errors that are, you know, to the extent that need to be reversed by the court.
Is the interpretation of the trust document an issue of law?
Yes, but I believe it, you know, the legal interpretation of certain terms, but the use and the consideration of her in the grantor's intent, I believe, would be fact issues that the trial court considered.
Is there anything specific in the record that refers to what she intended as far as assigns, whether it be an act of assignment by Pella or passive assignment in the Constitution?
There's nothing in the record about her, you know, relationship with the Synod or what specifically her intent was with the charitable successors and the signs language that she added. And she did add it for all of the bequests, not just for Pella Lutheran. So the timing of that, you know, appellant has pointed to that as a reason for, or because of the decline of the church to consider the Synod, but it was applied to all three different bequests. But there's nothing specific necessarily with regard to, you know, an attorney that drafted the documents testifying to what she meant by inclusion of that language. And then, you know, we just cite to that plain meaning.
So whose burden is that in this kind of case when Wells Fargo files the case, asks the court to determine what the trust document means? So who should have put on evidence in regard to what Mrs. Marshall meant?
It's our position, and I believe the trial court held that it was the Synod's burden. The Synod became involved by its own petition, affirmative petition, to intervene, and our position would be the Synod's burden to present that evidence as to why it should be a charitable successor and a sign of Pella Lutheran Church.
They were claiming to be the charitable successor and asset.
That's correct. Okay. Nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I apologize for the commotion. Do we have any time for rebuttal? We have no time for rebuttal. So that concludes arguments in Ray Trust of Matthews. So, counsel, you're excused, and this is the last case of the day, so...